Rolene Marks, good morning.
Good morning, Howard. And you know, I empathize and I really do, because this woman over here gets man flu. I must be honest. I'm a terrible patient when I am sick.
Right, exactly. And to say to me it's allergy season, like seriously, that just negates what I'm going through.
That is really not empathetic, no. Charles. Come on.
Right, exactly. So, it's a very strange news day. First of all, a country that I have never heard of has just recognized Jerusalem as the capital of Israel, which is very nice. But who are they?
This was my thought yesterday, you know, combing the news. I live on the news all day, and I see the Republic of Nauru recognize officially Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. And I had to stop for a minute. I thought, am I reading right? Is it like Narnia? Does it exist?
So I thought Narnia. You know, that was the first thing. Then I thought, okay, this is obviously a joke. And then I realized it wasn't.
I also did. So I went and I checked it out. I Googled, as one does, and the wikis told me that it is a tiny, tiny island country in Oceania, very, very close to Australia, and they have a population of about 13,000 people. I mean, my suburb is not even 13,000 people.
And they're independent.
But I don't know. I don't know if this is a genius, like trade and tourism ploy, because apparently they are the least visited country in the world. So what way better?
Because no one's heard of them.
Nobody's heard of them.
Wow. Okay. So,
extremely formal letter to, you know, to the United Nations. They sent a, you know, if I could read this letter, because it is, you know, ever so formal. Listen to this, guys. This is taking formal to a whole new level. The permanent mission of the Republic of Nauru to the United Nations presents its compliments to the permanent mission of the State of Israel to the United Nations and has the honor to refer to the matter concerning the status of the city of Jerusalem. The mission of Nauru has the honor to convey the decision of the government of the Republic of Nauru to formally recognize the city of Jerusalem as the capital city of the State of Israel. The permanent mission of the Republic of Nauru to the United Nations avails itself of this opportunity to renew to the permanent mission of the State of Israel the assurances of its highest consideration. I mean, I think the letters got more words than population.
Yeah, it's one word per person who lives on the island, I guess.
But it's, I mean, if you think about it, it's absolutely genius. Not only do they get to recognize Jerusalem as our capital, but they have now put Nauru firmly on the map, and it looks absolutely magnificent.
Yeah, I think it's worth it. I can tell you, you're going to find these Israeli kids finishing the army and going off to Narnia, wherever it's called, whatever it's called.
because that's the cupboard.
Yeah, how do you get there? Right, exactly. I mean, I love the fact that it's so similar to Narnia, and it's just got that whole element about it, a place that no one's ever heard of. It sounds utopian.
Amazing. It's just, I mean, it's the third smallest country in the world. It has a population of fewer than 12,000 people.
How do you spell that?
N-A-U-R-U.
Nauru Island.
Haven't already thought of that, guys. Mm-hmm. We've already thought, like, how do we get there besides, like, going through the cupboard, the lion, the witch, and the wardrobe? Yeah. It takes a minimum of 44 hours. I mean, if you're going to go to Nauru from Israel, Howard, it's going to take mega commitment. This is serious traveling commitment. It's a minimum of 44 hours with 3 stops. And apparently, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's son, Avner, has visited. So,
wow. They probably wanted to send Yair there, not bring him back, but that's something. Something completely different, I guess. I'm just looking at it now. Nauru, officially the Republic of Nauru. Ooh, it was formerly known. I love this, Anati. Listen to this. It was formerly known as Pleasant Island.
Oh, I love that.
Oh, this sounds better and better, this place. It's an island country in Micronesia, a sub-region of Oceania in the Central Pacific. I wouldn't even know where to look for it, actually.
This is brilliant PR.
That's what, that's what released.
Yes, yes. Don't you think? I mean, this is putting, I mean, they get, apparently they get about 160 tourists per year. I mean, that's just about to like seriously quadruple with the Israelis going there. They might regret this, guys.
Yeah, for sure. This is interesting. A message from a listener in Australia says, good morning, Howard. Australia sends all of its illegal asylum seekers, in inverted commas, to Nauru to get processed or sent back. Australians hear of Nauru nearly every week.
Wow.
Isn't that incredible? How
it
this is the first time we've heard of it, but here's a listener in Australia saying to us, this is like we hear of Nauru all the time. And we're joking about it because I don't think I've ever heard the word. But now that I'm thinking about it, Zanati, Vic Aladef on Tuesday did tell us about one of these scholars who said that, the guy that wrote Schindler's Ark, which became Schindler's List, he said that these detention center places is the first step to Auschwitz. And I wonder if he was referring to Nauru.
Makes sense.
Of course, it was absolute rubbish what he was saying. That's beside the point. But it's absolutely fascinating. Sure.
But it looks beautiful. I mean, it's classic palm trees, beaches. It's really, really beautiful.
So that's
beautiful,
the question is, can you elect to go there without being forced to go and live in Australia?
Well, there you go. There you go.
Absolutely incredible. So Nauru.
Having said that, I loved Australia.
I
have to put it out there.
I know you did. You took Australia by a storm. All right. So let's talk about some other things. You know, earlier this week, you sent me this incredible video of a company that it's a product in development. It's not there yet, which is a bracelet that projects your cell phone onto your hand or your arm, and then you're able to actually work off your arm. And I said, this is insane. It's an Israeli company. And we got talking, and I said, you know, there are so many incredible inventions in the medical field, in all sorts of spaces coming out of Israel. It's just an amazing place.
It absolutely is. I mean, often I wonder, like, where do people have the time or how do they think up these unbelievable inventions? So a video that's actually circulating quite a bit is something called the secret bracelet. So I went online and checked it out because some people said, no, it doesn't exist yet. Others said, no, it does exist. If you go on Amazon, they have actually advertised it. So it has been, available for purchase, but it still has a few glitches and a few issues. I mean, this kind of technology, guys, I think really is out of this world and will have some technical issues. So apparently it's a bracelet that you wear. I mean, the video features people in the bath. I mean, is there nowhere, guys, a Nati, Howard, that you can escape your phone? And what the bracelet reportedly does is beams your smartphone or your tablet onto your arm. So that while you're schmoozing in the bath or while you're chilling out, you can still read your email, you can still, send a WhatsApp. It's actually quite incredible. And they have managed to raise a substantial amount of capital and of course, generate a lot of interest and their tagline is it's like a tablet, but on your skin.
It's quite I mean, it looks absolutely brilliant, but frightening. Really frightening because, as you say, there's then absolutely no escaping anything. I mean, you could be sitting anywhere and your cell phone comes up on your arm.
Absolutely. I mean, there's some places you don't want to be caught with your cell phone ringing. And it's only really been a couple of years in development, but really just like people are loving this. I don't know. I think maybe it scares me a little bit, guys. I don't know what you think. Have we become so unable to detach from our devices?
Well, for sure we have. What are some of the other amazing things coming out of Israel in terms of innovation? I mean, we know the big ones. We know that that they've changed the world of cellular communication, of computers. But there's obviously a lot happening in the medical field as well, I see.
There's a lot happening in the medical field, and I think this is an area where we really are leading. There's the incredible story. I know it's been covered in a variety of publications, including the Jewish Report. I think it was last week, a former South African who has found possibly the significant way that we can progress to cure pancreatic cancer. Very, very important. And, you know, this is very, very, I know, Howard, to many of us who've lost loved ones, this is probably one of the most significant medical inventions to come out of Israel. Others include the I've lost my train of thought. It's the suit that you, it's called ReWalk. That's what it's called. See? Just when I thought I lost my thoughts, it came back. It's like a carapace that you can put on the body of somebody who is a paraplegic, and it enables them to walk again. We're seeing also great strides in research and development insofar as Alzheimer's and dementia. I know I lost my mother to dementia. To see something like that coming out of Israel is very, very important to me and to millions around the world. Every day we're coming out with new strides, breast cancer diagnostic tools that allow for early diagnosis that can really, really save lives.
Yossi says, Boker Tov Rolin, talking of Israeli technology, is there anywhere in South Africa we can get those straws that pick up if our drinks have been spiked? I saw that as well, that was an Israeli invention.
You know what, Yossi, you are the second person this week to actually ask me that. A lot of interest for a straw that detects whether or not your drink has been spiked. One of the problems we face, many women, is the dangers of date rape drugs being put in your drinks where you are out an hour. There's an Israeli invention. It's a straw that if you put it into your drink, it will alert you to the fact that your drink's been tampered with. That's a great one. And you know what, Yossi, because you are the second person to ask me this, I'm going to research that. That's my homework for the week, and hopefully come back to you next Friday with an answer. Other great inventions, and they're so numerous. This week we heard, sadly, that the inventor who enabled us to speak over Skype passed away. And I didn't know, but he was Israeli. It doesn't end what we are inventing here. A couple of months ago, you and I spoke about the fact that we are 3D printing meat.
It's absolutely unbelievable the speed and the level of innovation coming out of this tiny country is something amazing. And anyone who walks around Tel Aviv is just completely blown away by it, because the energy there is incredible. And I'll tell you, I had a meeting the other day, Raline, and I think that the answer is we were talking about entrepreneurship in South Africa, and I believe that one of the reasons that we're battling here with entrepreneurship is because of our fear of failure. We get so caught up in the image of success here that we don't do things and we don't move forward quickly enough as they do in Israel. In Israel, failure of a startup or of an environment like that is not viewed negatively. It's just viewed as part of your process and part of the things that happen. They don't get so caught up in the success of something. And I think that's the inherent difference, that the environment doesn't fear it. In fact, it celebrates failure.
Absolutely. In fact, they do have a gathering. I think it's once a month. I can't say the word on air, but basically it's a curse word that alludes to failure. And Israelis honestly believe if you're going to fail, fail spectacularly and then share your reasons for failing so that you can improve.
Absolutely right, Raline Marks. That's where we do have to leave you. Hope you have a fantastic weekend, a Shabbat Shalom, a peaceful weekend.
Shabbat Shalom.
And we'll speak to you next week. It is 8:00.